JLT1 is over with the last 5 days, bringing us 5 games. We threw away the keys for some of our locks, while on others, we had to dive into the Yarra, as we may need to set some players free. Giddy up for another bumper episode of the official AFL Fantasy Podcast.
G'day with the traders, I'm Roy, I coach Destroyer, and I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warn Dogs.
And Calvin.
Coach of Calvin Nate.
Boys, we've had another, well, we've completed the first round, really, of JLT games.
Yes,
so everyone's played a game now. I feel really confident and well-researched.
Do you?
Yeah,
have
I do.
What stupid things have you done?
Well, that's the thing. I have maintained my strength.
Really?
I have not done anything stupid or too reactionary,
yep.
Especially with my core players. I haven't, for example, worried about a quiet performance from a premium.
Well, that's important. That's good to know, and that's a good thing to do.
But I haven't always done it.
Have you been reactionary with guys that might be cheaper to come into your side?
Give me an example, Doug.
An example. Who might have snuck in over the weekend? Well, we had last week was Jack Redden. Is he still sitting in your side now?
No, common sense prevailed.
So you did have him in.
Last week. You've got to have a look at it, don't you?
And that's okay. Sometimes it's worth putting him there just to have a look and then go, that's all right.
Well,
get him out.
If the colour mix isn't good with the other boys.
Let's have a look then. We'll go through the games that we've got that we had over the last few days, and we'll start with the Carlton and St Kilda game. Roy, you sat down to watch your Blue Boys.
I certainly did.
Did you like what you saw from them?
Oh, mate. They're being underestimated. They are not only top eight relevant, they are fantasy relevant.
Here we go.
Yeah, okay, not the top eight, but they are definitely fantasy relevant. Now, there was a couple of things I liked about the Blue Boys.
Yep.
Obviously, Cripps, we've talked about how he's coming off his first full preseason ever. He snuck forward, he just cruised forward and kicked a couple of goals. He does look like he's going to be that at least 105-plus player that we've talked about. So if he's in your mix, certainly he ticks all boxes. Paddy Dow was the young gun to watch from the Blues, though.
Yeah, now Paddy Dow, I was pretty excited about him, and I think the Blues seem like they are pretty excited about him, even though he did lose his two front teeth. Did you hear about that?
I saw it, yep.
One of the things we've been working on is that synergy of a playing group, and have guys like that come in and play the way he did. To see Dow play to play with Cripps and the other midfielders, and I think we all saw his, I don't know if it's got out yet, but he lost his two front teeth, I think, tonight. So when you've got a first round draft pick willing to put his head over the ball like that, I think it gives his players a lot of belief and trust in him. So I think it's exciting.
We know what he wants for Christmas then, but what do we want for our Christmas then? As fantasy coaches, will he be a lock in your starting side this
year? He will play round one.
He will certainly play round one. So he showed some real poise. He broke away from a couple of packs. So 13 possessions, 2 goals. I don't know what he's saying in that interview there, though. People don't have to be going getting their teeth knocked out to be a good midfielder. But, so he's 266, so you're paying up for it. But like you said, Cal, he's definitely going to be there round one, I'd say.
What I was looking at was who's taking over the Doherty role.
Right.
Who's getting this mysterious role, right?
Mm.
I was watching two guys. I was watching Mullet.
Yep.
Right? He scored 36 from 78% game time.
So he played Doherty's role for 5 minutes. Doherty does 36 in 5 minutes.
Also looking at our mate, Kieran Byrne.
Yeah, Burner.
50 from 80%.
Mm.
Cross. You know what? This Doherty role can actually only be played by one person.
I know. See, when we're saying that, and I see some feedback about this, we are not suggesting anyone is capable of being
115.
Half as good.
No.
We're just saying the role adds probably 15 points to someone who is a half-decent footballer. The one I thought benefited the most back there was the leading defender ball winner, Marchbank.
Yeah.
He was pushing forward more than he usually does, and he was covering a lot of ground. So maybe in draft, if he's there late, he might be worth bumping up your list
25
a little
touches
bit.
For him.
Exactly.
This is an example of being strong with premium. So if you've elected to go for a Cade Simpson, right, because you think that he is going to be a top defender, la-di-da-di-da, all that, 60 points he scored from 91% game time.
Yeah.
Don't be deterred too much by that.
Oh, no, he's right.
It's okay.
He'll average his 90.
That's an example of just riding it out. It's all right. Don't be reactionary and just go, bang, no, I'm switching him for someone else. If you like him, stick with him.
From that game, Dog, I did like Nick Caulfield.
Yeah, so the Saint,
he's
early draft pick, and he's got to be a very good chance to play, I reckon. I was sort of
he was one that I was looking at there. You're paying the $256K for him.
I needed to see a bit.
But that's what we're going to have to do. Did you see enough with his 20 disposals?
Yep, you've just said it there. And five marks and poise across halfback. Now, his disposal wasn't awesome every time, but he looked so comfortable for a young kid back there. So I reckon he's going to start for him.
He
74
will.
Points. So he was in my squad before the round dog. Mm. So here's your answer.
In your squad of...
51,
right.
But he was not on my ground. He wasn't in the 22.
Right.
He is now on the ground. I have complete confidence. The ring to 20 possessions, 5 marks, 74 points.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Let alone the fact of how good he looked.
And listening to what Richardson said about him, like very happy with what he did. So that's got to be a positive thing. We'll see what they do this week in the JLT. And this is the telling week coming up in the JLT for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But people that had, for example, what's the Carlton bloke that we're looking at back there? O'Shea.
Oh, sorry, O'Shea.
If they had him there, you just find those extra dollars there for Caulfield
and
go with him instead.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's what you need.
Armitage, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Armitage. We need to talk about Armitage because he played 83% of the game after not playing much at all last year. 71 points.
Mm.
The second top score for the Saints.
Yeah. Mm. Very slow start too and still managed to get to 71.
Now, here's something for you, lads. He's only 20,000 more than O'Meara.
Mm.
20,000 is all you need. And here we all are going, oh, O'Meara's a lock. You must have him in your team, blah, blah, blah. And we'll talk about him in a moment. But what did he do wrong? He's a better pick than O'Meara at the moment.
He walked straight he walked straight into the inside midfield role.
Yep.
So if you were keeping an eye on him, he's ticked every box. You might as well pick him. O'Meara excites me way more than Armo.
Yes, no, of course. I did say that a little bit too quick.
What Armo did once upon a time, though.
Yeah.
But that once upon that a time was a blip on the radar.
That was.
Totally.
Anomaly.
Before we finish with the Saints, Roy, I woke up to a text message from you.
Oh, so did I.
Yep.
In our little group chat.
I was hoping you'd bring
the traders' chat.
I was hoping you'd bring this up.
What do you think about Paddy McCartan as an option?
Tell him, Roy.
Yeah, what do you think?
I thought you must have been drunk last night, and that actually came through at 2 a.m. a normal 2 a.m. type text from you.
Okay, I know it's silly, but
it's
my it's part of my professional job here to get across everyone.
Okay,
now is price like an inflated rookie?
$336,000 is a forward you'll pay for him.
He's a number one pick.
Yeah,
he's replacing Riewoldt.
Yep.
What are we doing here?
And he scored 70 points on the weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's you
where
know,
could this possibly go wrong?
You know the answer to this. You know the answer to this.
I know you can't do it, but whoever wins the car will do it.
Oh.
You really? Are you saying that?
I will not be surprised at all.
Oh, right. Wow.
Mm.
McCartan. Okay. Time to move on. To the next game.
No, that wasn't even part of it. I was just the way you said it made me say that.
Well done.
GWS and Collingwood played on Thursday night, and I checked out this one, thought it might have been over at quarter time because the lights weren't working there in Canberra.
I did say that.
That's been an issue for the whole series. The cars on high beam aren't working.
No, and this one, and this was at a good ground. Like this was at Canberra Oval where they play night games and stuff. So anyway, some of the light towers weren't working, and I was kind of hoping that I didn't have to put myself through watching too much more of it, because Collingwood were awful, but GWS were looking good and there were plenty of players to watch. So let's start with the big dogs. Old Kelly, 106, 78% time on ground.
Absolute effortless.
Unstoppable.
Yes.
Effortless.
If you are, if he's in your side, you should be walking around with your chest puffed out
at the moment. Can he go that 112, 113 again? Can he go bigger?
Possibly. Easy. Yeah.
Easy.
Wow.
All right. Cornelio, a lot of people like him. Roy, you were his big cheerleader all preseason. 97 from 84% time on ground. Tick if you've got him. And I do in my side at the
moment. Do you really?
Yeah.
Remains in my team too.
Right. Dylan Shield played a bit of time up forward. That's what we might see from him.
Would he do that to break the tag?
Well, and that's been an issue for him, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah.
He was very good.
Now, the big one that I actually really enjoyed, and that was probably watching Heath Shaw was one.
Just
to see what he actually dominated. He had 82 from 73% time on ground, He ran up the wing a bit more.
What goes up must come down.
He pleased. Oh, well, we've seen that before.
The Waldog, is sure in your team?
No, but...
Has he been
He hasn't been totally delisted. He hasn't been told... He's been allowed to come to training with the Warndogs, but one of the reasons why he might stay in the team is because old mate Whitfield was in the back line, and he is going to be a defender. He will be a round six defender. Mark my words on that. He had 25 disposals, 9 marks, had 101 from his 88% time on ground, and it sounds very much like he will be playing as a defender this year, and he should end up with defender status during the season.
You know, we've had to find some replacements, obviously, with key personnel going down for a period of time, and Lockie's been able to go back last week against the Swans, and we wanted to have a good look at him again tonight, and he played quite well. So it's not to say that's where he's going to end up, because we know sure he's done it for a long period of time as well. But, yeah, we're really impressed with his work ethic down there.
So that part there where he's saying, because sure he's done it, Freeshaw up to do that thing, play on the wing, and then Whitfield can skulk across half back and rack up his
frees
disposals.
Frees up Heath Shaw to carry the drinks, Warndog. That's what it does.
It's okay. It's either him or it's me, dog. You need to choose.
What?
We can't stay together for another year if you've got Heath Shaw again. It's too hard on me.
Isn't it hard coming in here to record this with grumpy Shaw face over here?
He is priced at about 80.
Don't.
Yep.
Remember he went at 120 2 years ago for the first.
But it's over. Do it.
A guy that I was keen to watch was Finlayson, Jeremy Finlayson. He was a gun in the kneeful. He averaged 103 in that last year, which is a good number.
Not enough.
He had 55 from 82%. Well, Calvin, it's enough if he's at 170 grand.
No, I mean 103 in the kneeful's not enough.
Oh, well, it's pretty good if you're 170 grand. Anyway, played one senior game last year, is injured in the first half for only 20 points, and I'm thinking that he would be in the mix, if not one of the favourites for a spot back there.
Jeremy Finlayson, we thought tonight defended really well, which is what we want to do, but when he got the ball, we thought he made good decisions.
Yeah, thanks, McVay.
He's locked and loaded on your pine. And load.
Now, the ruck lineup, Dawson Simpson, who was another kneeful massive number
huge
guy.
Huge last year.
So, anyway, he basically had that role, and he was flogged, though, by the pie rucks, especially Grundy there, 29 hitouts to 11. He scored 61 from 80, so that's not shocking. Only had 2 kicks and 10 handballs with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... Is he half an option if Rory Lobb isn't there? Because he obviously didn't play. And
slightly overpriced because he chipped in for a couple of decent games last year. So, no, not an option at all, I don't think.
Not at all. Right, okay. Sorry for wasting your time on that. One of the other guys that is worth considering is Zach Langdon. Been a little bit of talk about him over this sort of... over the week leading up to this and throughout the game. He's a 170k forward. He had 37 from 65% time on ground. He's a 22-year-old, and they're talking him up to take the Devon Smith role. Might be him, could be one or two of the other players, but if he's the one, then at 170k, we'll be picking him.
Yeah, well, we sort of flagged, pre-game that it was a really big night for Zach Langdon and Daniel Lloyd and Tiziani, and we thought they played quite well together as a team. They've all got speed. They all love to tackle, and it's probably something that we really needed to find in the off-season, and we got that straight away in regards to our training. And tonight they, although it's only a JLT game, they showed some really good signs that there's some positives there for the future and going forward, and it was a really good night for young Zach, who, wore the Giants shovel for the first time.
Definitely one to watch, see what he looks like
just
this week
watch.
In the JLT.
That's,
the Devon Smith role was sitting on the emergency bench at the end of last year.
Okay,
that concerns me.
Look at the Pies, who were smashed, and the big one to come out of this was Taylor Adams. He did not attend one centre bounce.
Yep.
It's phenomenal.
Not one.
It's happening.
But he scored 91. That's nice.
Their team high too,
playing,
wasn't it?
Yep, and playing off half back.
Yep.
He could gain that DPP back again and have defender status.
He will get it back.
I'm going to
structure. Have you got some inside word on that, Calvin?
I don't know. Am I allowed to share?
Yeah, share.
So we spoke to Maxi. We've got this draft podcast
coming out later this week.
Later in this week. We spoke to Maxi on it. I mean, you weren't there, Roy, but that's okay.
I'm intrigued.
He told us that he will definitely be starting off the halfback flank. So Taylor Adams will be starting off the halfback flank.
Wow.
They hope that Murray...
Yeah.
Will play JLT this week.
You mean 170k, mate?
And play well to sort of play that role as
they
well.
They want him to play well yes. enough to justify picking
yes.
it.
Yes. So if you want more on this, get the get our draft
yeah, later this week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and it'll pop up for you.
This is irresponsible that you didn't tell me this straight away.
I'm saving it, Roy. So we had this huge chat to Maxie about all this.
Don't tell everything because then people won't download
it. We talked about the Cox.
There's any more like
the Grundy. Really quite intriguing.
Grundy stuff was intriguing.
Yes.
So it's not just game over.
Whoa. Tune in later this week. Isn't that what they do?
I'll show you the replay.
It's like listen bait.
And you guys did all that without me. Yeah. Well done.
So very confident that Adams will be a defender come round six.
Amazing. So okay. There you go. Another defender is Jack Crisp, and he is 622K.
Yeah.
Now, he played that halfback as we'd expect. Probably a little bit quiet, though, for those people that are locking him.
Good old reactionary destroy got him out.
Did you?
Oh.
Yep. And not purely for the quiet performance, because it was disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Adams is just taking his kicks back there. And then you're talking about Murray.
Oh, jeez.
Because he was doing a fair bit of attacking last year, Crisp.
He was,
in that position, especially when he was obviously playing well.
Because Adams was a midfielder last year. We've got to remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm concerned about that.
Maxie, he didn't say that he'll stay back there 100%. If they need him to come back in the middle, that's exactly what happens. For me, Roy, he stays for me.
Does he?
Yeah, just because he was back there.
Yeah.
So he's on the watch list and he has been warned that he needs to turn up.
A couple of names to throw out there. Josh Thomas, he's a forward at 439K, 22 touches, 76 from 73% game time. There's 10 to 15 points upside in him. Mm. And with the forward line as it is, that sort of mid-price guy could be a good option to go for, especially a draft slider. Just one to think about.
Yeah, it's funny. I'll never do it, but that's the sort of money I've got lingering to spend there at the moment, but I just can't bring myself.
I'd feel much better, even if Lob was fully fit and all that sort of stuff, you're spending the same sort of coin on Josh Thomas. You're probably going to get the same sort of result, if not better.
Yeah, possibly.
With a bit more upside. Jaden Stevenson, 260K. He's in 15% of teams, and rightly so, because he's a first-round draft pick. You're paying that extra money for him. He's a mid-forward, 38 from 80% time on ground. Gave away two free kicks in that, and he was a bit unlucky. I kept on watching him, wanting to see what he does. And he's around the ball a fair bit. One time, the ball went over his head out on the full. The ball was getting chopped off in front of him before he could get it. And so he would have had couple more plus sixes.
So he could have had about a 50 with a bit of luck.
I tell you what, I watched him closely.
Awesome.
I tell you what, he will be.
He's got some work
to do. You know how we say, better for the run. But you know what concerns me?
Yeah.
This is where we thought we had some options and a little bit of security in Rayner in our forward line.
And
I'm not confident anymore.
And I'll tell you what, you might have got a bit of that confidence from my AFLX review.
I was right.
Because he was locked at that point.
He was locked.
Unlocked, officially.
Brody Miercek, he's a Tassie boy, 25 years old, 170K defender. Bucks was pretty happy with him. Played 87% time on ground. Key defender, so he's not going to score a lot. Had 48 points, but could be a lock away on the bench if we desperately need him. And Flynn Appleby, I don't think he's going to get a game, but he had 49 as a small defender back there, 11 disposals, 5 marks. So those guys there. And the Grundy thing, so Grundy attended 51 contests to Cox's 14. So Cox was basically a 4.
Yeah, good. 14's all right.
Yeah.
That's okay when they're that low.
So Grundy scored 65. So
no.
That's don't, gross.
But as I said, tune in.
Remember,
podcast later in the week. I get into Maxi about this and he dissects it for us.
Okay.
I'm staying. I haven't heard the interview, but I'm staying exactly where I was. Grundy is no go.
Same.
None at all. Okay, let's get into the Saturday afternoon game, and that was the Bulldogs game. They played against Hawthorn, and that was happening at Mars Stadium in Ballarat. And a few interesting bits and pieces to come out of that one. Josh Dunkley, boys.
I snapped him up in draft in the afl.com.au draft we did today. And, got him really, really late as a forward. So he had 104, top score for the day. That's pretty good. You take that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I've always been a fan of Dunkley, and I even I had him fill in for some games for me back in his rookie year off the free agent.
Locked a tackle, didn't he, from me? Yeah, he actually had seven on the weekend.
Yeah, well, exactly right. That's what he does, and he's a good mark as well, threat in front of goal. So, yeah, he's a really good player.
he did it all for you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and he does that quite often when he's fit. So he'll be really interesting this year.
A guy I wanted to look in this, he was Crozier.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, floating around the back line. He looked a little bit busy there for a while, so he took 5 marks. 20 touches for his 78.
He's going to average over 80,
you
know, isn't he?
You can get him as a forward.
Mm.
You can get him as a forward. So in that area of sort of need, he will be over 80.
Well, when he had that hot patch for the Dockers, it was across half back. Is that the role he was playing?
Yes, 100%. So,
well, he's going to be good, isn't he?
He will be good. So he's at 400.
You couldn't, could you?
467.
I didn't draft today.
So this is the thing, though. He's 467 in your forward line. You're paying another 130 on top of, say, a Christensen. You know, is he worth that much more? Price at an average of 66.
Mm.
If he can go
66, he's going. 60, he'll go over 80.
He will go over 80. So a little bit of value, but this is, we're going back down this midnight.
Oh, no.
Midnight madness.
No.
It's midnight madness.
Well, thanks for informing me about him, but no.
No, it's a no, madness. But still, just have a look. A
couple of Bulldogs I was watching. First one that I was having a look at was Aaron Norton, their first-round pick. He looked pretty good out there. Had 51 from 84% time on ground, but he looked composed. That was probably the thing. It's that trust your eyes thing, guys.
Correct one.
Don't look at these scores and make that be the way you judge yourself on these.
So, key defender is a turn-off traditionally.
Yeah.
However, he's a bit of a new-age key defender. He's good at intercept possessions.
Well. Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And he does rack up, or as a kid, he did rack up for a key defender as well. So don't be turned off by that. You've got to keep your eye on him, I think.
Well, and the Bulldogs' defence is going to be quite interesting to watch. You've got, as we talked about, Crozier heading back there, and traditionally they've scored fairly well.
Yes.
And the way they moved their ball, they had a lot of disposals. They were a high possession game, a team in that game. And so if we see that this year, some of these guys will obviously increase their prices, but increase their output from last year, because it was a pretty dour year for most Bulldogs in fantasy. Now, I received a message a few weeks ago from my mate Timmy Dunham, the mayor of Stanley up there. Now, he said, Bailey Williams, look at him.
Yeah.
And Bailey Williams.
He
was great. He had 98 from 79% time on ground, 16 kicks, 8 handballs, 8 marks, and a couple of tackles in there with that. He looked very, very,
it's a well-rounded
good.
Game,
looks
isn't
like
it?
There's a lot of uncontested marks in this.
Yeah.
And I think even your boy Bigsy there, Roy, got involved. 100 points.
He doesn't miss out on that.
7 marks, 28 disposals.
You're tricky somewhere along the line, especially in draft.
Drafted him today.
Yep. Did you?
Yeah.
under the roof at Eddie had, if these guys are flicking that ball around back there.
You don't have to convince me on Big Dog.
Well, I'm there. Anyway, watch one more.
Now, for the Hawks, at the top of the table was, of course, Tom Mitchell.
Yeah, 111
points he had from 83% time on ground, 16 kicks, 14 handballs, 6 marks, 4 tackles, and you would be silly not to spend the $896,000 that is his asking price and lock him in right from day dot. Make him your captain, and you should be pretty happy with that.
You can make him your captain if I tick it off. But before we get into that, Roy,
yep.
You have the floor.
What?
You have the floor.
To talk about who?
I would like you to talk about the man who had 24 touches, 6 marks, 82 points.
Hit me with it. I don't know.
Sick Dog.
Oh, is that all he had? I thought he had more than that. No, Sicily.
Playing a nice role.
Yeah, he was, but I tell you what, it's going to be high risk, high reward.
Yep.
It was only late and there wasn't much in it, but he showed that he has that ability to be niggled and lose.
He was niggled.
The plot.
He was tagged again.
Who is not going to niggle him?
Who tags in the JLT?
People that want to get a reaction. Yep. And Sis Dog is giving them reactions. So he is... He's still in my team.
Yep.
He's going to be great. However, you have to be ready. You have to be ready for some monumental disasters, potentially.
Right.
That 24 he had when he was silenced by the lamb, that is not necessarily a thing of the past. He is so niggleable and people enjoy doing it and getting a reaction.
All right.
Okay, we're watching Jager O'Meara.
Thanks for the floor.
We are, because I tell you what.
What did you think, Cal?
I was, yes, he looked good. He only had 16 touches.
Just his arms, they looked nice.
16 touches. He played
Four marks and four tackles were good.
Up there with the most game time from the Hawks. They're trying to give him this time, which was 85% on the ground, 61 points.
And that's what Clarko said too.
Yeah, yeah, he's had a really good summer, and we're just looking forward to the chemistry starting to build. You know, he hasn't played many games of footy, even in our colours, to work out what the chemistry and connection and synergies are with all his teammates here as well. So, whether it's with the ruckman and just that chemistry, or whether it's with his fellow midfielders, so we'll work that out. And every game that he gets, every minute that he gets, is just really valuable for him and us.
Connection, chemistry, continuity. What are all these words he's making Clarko up?
Clarko needed a nap there. You listen to that again. He was that tired. He could hardly get a word out.
I don't know,
Okay.
He'll be right, though.
He scored 61. Basically a full game, dog.
All I needed to see that was good game time. Yep. 85%. Yep. They're confident enough to give Jagerbomb 85% of a game.
Right, so if he rocks up in the next JLT and he scores another 60 from a full game, you're going to stick with him.
A second 60 would be a bit too much for me to hold
on to.
So
he's going to go.
He will stay there for another game confidently after seeing 85%. That's all I needed to see. Okay. 85%.
So this is one of these examples, people, where you don't get all angry like I have with him. And he's got the boot for me.
Has he?
Yep, he is.
I understand it.
Because I am not going through another season where he fronts up and does this kind of rubbish.
O'Meara is someone who can potentially average 100.
Yeah.
He played 85% game time.
Yep.
That's fascinating to me. He's ready to go.
He'll be right.
We'll
see. Last player we'll mention out of this game was your mate Mira Roy.
Yeah.
Didn't do a lot. Played about a quarter. And that's the thing. So
saving him.
I just don't think he's going to be playing.
Can I just mention one more thing, Bob? Bontepelli.
Oh,
he's the forgotten man.
He is.
So he averaged 100 last year, but he's...
We sort of don't think about
that. No, his 100 on the weekend was, how should I say it, effortless.
Yeah.
He could go 110.
Yeah.
I don't think he will, but he could. He's tooled to do it.
A very gutsy pick.
Mm.
And to help us get through the two games that involved the Queensland clubs here for our AFL Fantasy Show, we have got Michael Whiting from the Queensland office of afl.com.au on the line. Welcome, Mike.
G'day, guys. It's the Queensland office is my apartment in Brisbane, so it's going nicely at the moment.
Awesome. Now, you got to catch a couple of the games over the weekend, and we'll start with the one in Brisbane, so at the Moreton Bay Sports Complex there, and that was the Lions and the Swans. And for me, I was loving the way and what Steph Martin was doing, because he was the solo ruck. Do you think we might be seeing that a little bit more this year?
Yeah, I definitely think we'll see him as a solo ruck. They'd probably... I guess the thing Brisbane's got to figure out is who they want to back him up. Likely to be Josh Walker. We saw a little bit of Dan McStay doing it on the weekend, which I thought was quite interesting, and probably a bit of a light into the fact that Steph will do most of the work on his own. The guys that back up Steph in the ruck department in Brisbane, Archie Smith and Oscar McInerney, not quite done enough to push their case just yet. So, yeah, Steph was enormous on Saturday. He looks primed for a pretty big year.
Well, they were sounding pretty happy with him. This is what Murray Davis had to say.
Yeah, he's really happy with Steph. He's had a really big pre-season and he's led the way, and he's got pressure on from below and he's performing really well. So, you know, Steph in the end, he's had 21 disposals and a lot of real good balance of contested and uncontested possession. So really happy with Steph's game.
See you later, Archie Smith. That's good news for us, mate. He's been... absolutely slaughtering Steph for too long. Now, let's talk about Alan Christensen. So, obviously, been injured in the past. He came out with 16 touches for his 62 fantasy points in 69% game time. How did he look out there?
Pretty good first up performance from Christensen, I think. He hasn't played a senior game in, I think it was June or July 2016, so well over 18 months, and any bit of footy he gets at the moment, I think he's just going to improve from. I thought he looked pretty good, maybe a little bit of touch will come back to him. He missed a couple of kicks that he probably normally hit, but I was really encouraged by what Christensen did on the week, and I presume he's only going to get better from here the more game time he plays.
Good to know.
A player that we've all got in our forward line at the moment is number one pick Cameron Rayner. Slightly disappointing effort, mate. I know he's been removed from my team pretty swiftly based on that effort. Should we be giving him a bit more leeway, or what did you think?
Yeah, he's interesting, I think, particularly when you're looking at him through the fantasy eyes. I think he's going to play straight away. He'll play round one. I think he'll get plenty of opportunities. He hasn't grabbed me, even just watching him at training in Brisbane's match simulation type of work. He doesn't grab me as a huge possession winner.
Yep.
He's a bit more of an impactful sort of a player, a burst type of player, which I'm sure has been spoken about a lot. I think he's going to... His tackle numbers will get up, but I don't think his possessions will be overly high. But I don't think Brisbane, from a broader footy perspective, I don't think they're that concerned how much of the footy he gets. It'll be what he does when he gets it. And there was just one or two glimpses on the weekend that were exciting. And I think when you've got a first-year player, albeit the number one pick, that's about as much as you can ask from him.
Yeah, now, we were looking at a few guys. They rotated pretty well because there weren't many players that played more than 80% time on ground. And in the midfield, though, Reece Matheson, is he going to be a bit of a... Will he benefit, do you think, from Rocky leaving, for example?
Yeah, he's the one I've got my eye on, that's for sure. It looks like a pretty good like-for-like replacement, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Rocky out, inside midfielder. Rocky's a bit of a better forward option than Reece, but Reece worked extremely hard on this. One of our favourite sayings, I know, had a big pre-season, but Reece certainly falls into that category. His running's improved out of sight. It's probably an area that let him down his first couple of years, but I reckon he's a good bet, and he's going to play a fair bit of footy this year, I think.
Now, one of my favourite players is Red Bull Robbo. As you can pick him up as a forward at the moment as well. So he only had 9 touches for his 41 points. Was he out of touch, or what was going on with him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's probably in a similar boat to Alan Christensen, really. Yeah. Just missed a whole chunk of footy last year. I think he got injured in round 6 or round 7, broke that foot, missed the last 4 months of the year. So I think it's a bit the same with him. And the more footy he plays, the better he'll do. I think he's going to largely play that half-forward role. That might hurt his disposal numbers a bit, but he'll definitely spend some time in the midfield. We know he can play a tagging role if need be. Chris Fagan likes his guys to be versatile, so they're not going to get lumped in one part of the ground. So I think the more game time Mitch gets under his belt, the more time you'll see him spend in the middle.
In the back line there, Jack Payne, he's a 170k defender. Do you reckon he's any chance to be getting a game this year?
He might play. It won't be early, though. I think it'll be as the season wears on. And to me, looks like one of those lockdown sort of defenders.
Yeah, yeah.
He can take a grab, but a bit more of a lockdown. He's an enormous boy for a teenager.
Yeah.
Looks like he can play the top level, but I don't think we'll see a lot of him this year.
Yeah, well, we're not going to get too excited because he had 45 points on the weekend, but he averaged just 34 in the NIFL in Calvin.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That's not good, is it? All right, the Swans were there as well, and the Swans, they looked pretty good because they obviously got a pretty good win in that. Buddy kicked 4 goals, so that was great to see. But in the midfield there, Josh Kennedy, Luke Parker, they look like they were going all right, weren't they?
Not bad. They don't look like they miss a beat, do they?
Yeah.
I was half expecting them to play a slightly weaker team. But I know they had a few guys out, like Hanbury and McVeigh, and a few others that are carrying niggles at the moment, but they were terrific. Almost looked like they had another gear or two to go to if they needed it as well, those Sydney guys. So, yeah, Josh Kennedy and Kieran Jack, these sort of guys looked in great form straight up.
Now, you mentioned McVeigh was out. Obviously, Jake Lloyd, he seems to embrace the role of that half-back bit of distributor when McVeigh is out, and he certainly did that again with his 20 touches. What do you have? He had 26 touches and 9 marks. What do you think about his role when McVeigh is back?
Yeah, he flew under the radar a bit for me on Saturday. I was probably too busy watching other guys, the younger guys like Robbie Fox and Riley Stoddart. I was trying to keep a closer eye. I looked down and Jakey had 26 touches. So there's certainly a spot for him. Like, he's obviously cemented the role at the Swans. So I'm not sure how that'll play out when Jared McVeigh comes back into the team, but I'm sure there's a spot there for him. I couldn't believe when I looked down and saw he had so much of the ball. So he's
Now, you mentioned Robbie Fox there as a midfielder for 284K is what we can pay. Now, his numbers last year weren't great. Benefited, of course, from a bit of more midfield time. 24 touches, 87 points. Now, he's not best 22, though, is he?
No, I don't think so. And I think he was the one that really benefited from McVay not playing on the weekend.
Yep. Yeah.
Speaking to a few of the Swans guys, he's gone into the back half this year. So I know he got a bit of midfield time on the weekend, but they predominantly see him as a halfback. So I think once McVay comes back, that's going to be a bit too congested for him to get regular footy.
Yep. Now, you jumped on a plane head up to Townsville as well for the Gold Coast and Geelong game.
Living the life.
Yeah, real glamorous. Got home about midnight last night.
Well, fun. They should have been able to stay up there in the Townsville AFL.com.au offices to now, we were looking at the Cats a bit, who were quite depleted in the midfield, but Tim Kelly, surely he's a good chance to be playing round one. He's in 24% of fantasy teams at the moment. He had 48 from his 61% time on ground. He was basically game high in the centre bounces. Do you think that he still gets a gig when round one rolls around?
Oh, from what I saw yesterday, I think he certainly does. Geelong certainly look for points of difference, don't they? We know the big three didn't play yesterday, and they're looking for one or two of those younger guys to step in, but Kelly looked great to me. I think he only finished with maybe 13 touches or thereabouts, but what he did with them was terrific. Those centre clearances, his speed, his balance, his poise. I think he looks like one of those guys that can have an impact through the middle at half forward just because of that speed and those clean hands. So he vaulted straight into contention for me. I mean, I'm sure he was already. That's why they recruited him as a mature player. So,
well,
no harm to his chances.
Matthew Knights, who was in as the coach for the game, is what he had to say.
From our point of view, young Tim Kelly was outstanding early in the game. I think his contest work and his ability to break lines and tackle hard was good.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. He's good to go, isn't he?
We also got to understand there was no Ablett, there was no Danger, and there was no Silwood. The big three were out, but he still attended a game-high 15 bounces.
He'll be Motlop-like. He just replaces him, doesn't he?
Yep, exactly.
Is that what we're looking at?
He's
okay.
A lock.
Other players that we're looking at there is Mitch Duncan. He was great. He had a fantastic season last year, and I'm a little bit worried that he's not going to reach the numbers that he did last year, but he is in some great form at the end of last year, and he started off well this year.
You think Gaz might steal a few possessions off him when he gets out
that's
on the field?
That's what you're thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Everyone thinks that. I don't know if he's going to.
Is that going to be real?
He'll be invited to the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes, he will.
So he'll be part of that sharing around.
And he's the future of the club.
Yeah, correct. He's going to be just as big, I reckon.
Because Menegala
you might have think he's going to benefit from them, though.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. Only 1.4% of coaches are on him at the moment.
Well, it's a gutsy pick.
And listen to the numbers he had in the finals last year. Scores that obviously don't go towards his average this year. 110, 160, 131. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Good player.
Absolutely ridiculous. So he had 40 points in the first quarter and then basically just took the foot off like nearly all the Geelong guys did.
Nick Holman's the one we need to ask
about. We've got to get into the Suns because there's a bit of meat here, isn't there?
Yeah, so Nick Holman. He's obviously got experience with the Blues. He's 170. He's basement priced. Averaged about 26 touches in the sandful for a couple of years. Are we just locking him in, mate? 8 tackles for 80 points.
Oh, I think you're going to see him. Yeah, I wasn't sure where he fitted into the Suns lineup, and I don't think Stewie Dew knows exactly where a number of his guys fit in. But after yesterday, he's put his hand up for round one, and I think that spot's his to lose. Him, and I know you might get onto these other guys, and Sean Lemon, Darcy McPherson. Obviously, Stewie Dew wants that forward half pressure. Mm. Nick Holman was probably top of the list when it came to that yesterday. So he's desperate with his second chance in AFL footy. I had a tackle him at the airport last night, and he's absolutely
laughing
to get another chance. Yeah, he's good. No, he was good. He was just loving being back out on an AFL field again. So
that ticks boxes.
I reckon you can certainly lock him in, and he's going to... we saw 8 tackles yesterday, and that's something
awesome.
He's going to... base his game on.
Yeah. You also mentioned Darcy McPherson there, so he only played half a game for 65 points. That's ridiculous. And in the NEFL last year, I can't wait to talk to you about that a bit later, but he averaged 124 from his 13 games last year in the NEFL.
Pig-like numbers.
Can rack it up.
Yeah, he can. He's just on the fringe. He's one I'm not quite sure whether he fits in or out at the moment, so I probably think he's just going to be on the outside, but if Shawnee Lemon's hamstring, which happened late in yesterday's game, if that doesn't come up in a couple of weeks, McPherson's like an obvious type of replacement to come in. But I think he's just going to be one of those guys that's on the fringe, just in or just out, Darcy McPherson.
Now, mate, Barlow was named as an emergency, and I've been reading on Twitter that people are saying he can't even make the JLT team, like he's past it, he's not in their future plans, etc. Can you just explain where Barlow's at for us, please?
Oh, he's had a very good preseason, actually. Stewie's a fan. And,
of course he is, yeah.
Reading between the lines, I think he's just an older guy that might not need two matches under his belt for
Thank
the preseason.
You.
So,
but gave him a bit of confidence, yeah, naming it as an emergency for that game.
Yeah. I tried to say that there's nothing to worry about. It's Michael Barlow, but, yeah, thanks for confirming
That's just playing the experience card, isn't it?
Exactly.
Now, one that we'll probably be talking about for later in the season is Harrison Wigg. Is he, how's he tracking with that fracture that he had earlier in the year? Early in the preseason.
Yeah, so he's done okay. He's back running. He's been involved in a few drills at training. He should be back into full training very, very soon. So I imagine he'll come back through the kneeful. They were really pleased with his first month or so. Obviously starting from a long way back now because the Suns have had a pretty much a full list. So there's 40 fit guys in front of him, and but he's almost ready to start completing full training again.
Give us a round that we can predict to see him back.
Well, I think he'll play NEAFL straight away. So I think
earlier than we first thought.
He'll be able to play NEAFL at the start of the season.
If everything goes
right in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So, yeah, he'll be right to go.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Fish. You are a champion, and thank you for keeping your eye on the Queensland teams for us, because it's a long way up there, and we do enjoy your words of wisdom.
Pleasure, guys, anytime.
Beautiful. Good luck with your fantasy team this year too. See ya.
Thanks, guys. See you.
On the Traders Podcast, it's time for Breaking News with Warren.
All right, there is still plenty of news to come for the podcast here today. Heaps of stuff to get through, boys, and I'm going to start off with some of the practice matches, the scratch matches that we saw over the last few days. Now, the first one was your boys, Cow, and that was the Crows.
Yep.
Probably not much to get out of the intra-club, but Brad Crouch missed because he's got an abdominal sprain, which means that he probably won't play the JLT this week. And we'll go into the season underdone. That's right.
It's a concern.
Yep.
Anytime I hear that word underdone, dog, I get a little bit concerned. So, not ideal.
A lot of people, especially in draft, you might just wait on him. Mm. Gibbs missed, said back spasms, but probably after he dominated in that first JLT, he didn't need to. The other one, West Coast and Freo actually had a scratch match. And our mate Waterman kicked 2 goals in a loss there. Rioli kicked 2. Liam Ryan kicked 1, and he was pretty good. I saw a couple of bits and pieces from that. Had a bit of toe there, or he just has a crack, old Liam Ryan. So it's going to be exciting. I think Ryan and Rioli are going to be playing in round one. Waterman, if JJK isn't right, he's shown enough to come straight in and fill that role. So have that. For the Dockers, that Bailey Banfield was good, kicked 3 goals in that. So he's going to be moving pretty close to getting a round one spot, as well as Brayshaw, who I think is an absolute lock to be in the Freo side from the start. So those two sides are going to be very relevant for us, and especially seeing what their 22s will look like in the lead-up to in round one, on that Thursday night. It's going to be very, very interesting for those guys. Now, Cal, Vardy got injured in that game.
Yes, he did. He looks like he's out for a month.
Yep.
And, of course, Nick Nat has been sort of told now, well, we've been told, directly on our phone, just through the old Googles, that Nick Nat's struggling as well. So he's now
every
unlikely.
Every day there's a different bit of news for Nick Nat. But
and because, it's only getting worse.
And because of that, it's now just write him off. Like, even if, you probably will play round one now, if we get that bit of news, still not touching it.
So
it's now a game over.
Does Lysett come into somebody out there's calculation at 423 as a ruckman?
Could be, but then one of them will come back in.
You couldn't do it, in
You
my
couldn't
opinion.
Do it.
No.
Lysett has had some great numbers in the past.
Has,
But, you can't do it, I don't think.
No, definitely not. Big no.
No, okay. The other bit of news to talk about here was the Nathan Freeman. We talked about him last week, bit of hamstring issue. He's now having surgery on his hamstring, and around 4 or 5, they're saying that he'll be back in the VFL.
How many times has he had surgery on his hamstrings? He must have.
Well, that's the thing. I think it was to remove scar tissue from
the other surgery,
previous injuries and surgeries. And
what an unlucky dude.
Who knows what else.
Little thing that dropped as well was that there are 4 emergencies now being listed on the team sheets this year. Good or bad for fantasy?
Shocking.
Yep.
Just not good. More chance for someone else to come in. Is that what it is?
Well, there needs to be bigger punishments or rules in place as it is, I reckon, for changing teams late. Now, it's just opened up a bigger platform to do it.
Yep.
There now.
Yep, exactly. It's deceitful. And I don't like it.
No, fair.
Oh, there's one little bit of news.
What's that?
Today. Tom Rockliffe.
Oh, dude, this is
not going to play in the second JLT, but there's no doubt that he's going to be right for round one.
Okay.
Where are we sitting?
Get your phone
right
out
now. Destroy. You're our barometer on this that we shouldn't actually listen to all the time because it burnt us last year after about the buys. But what happened?
It was all right leading up to that, though, boys.
He was. You weren't complaining. We like to pick him because we have that FOMO, the fear of missing out.
We do have that.
And that was what happened to us mid last year when he was coming back from that shoulder.
Yep.
Do you have that feeling for this year?
The fear of missing out feeling? Yeah, I do. Like, it's a condition. And I've got that well and truly. Don't know how to treat it. I understand this is a big issue.
Yeah.
Common sense would say there's plenty of good players that look like going 110 around his price.
Yeah.
They haven't missed a beat. That is really who you should be taking.
Such as your Fives, Canelios, all those kind of guys.
Yeah, they're even cheaper.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you're saying to these people, you're saying to everyone today, don't start with Rockliffe. Start with a person who is even equal to or less than in price because you're concerned that Rocky has missed two JLTs and will not hit round one.
So he will have had no practice with his new team.
Yeah.
You heard what Clarko said when he was half asleep about finding continuity and stuff like that. Rocky will be introduced to the ruckman at the centre bounce.
G'day. Paddy Ryder. G'day.
Exactly.
Tom.
Won't know where to hit it to him or anything. Right. So there is far safer options.
Okay. This is the
question. He's out of my side.
This is the question. And this is what's going to be the deciding factor. Because at the moment, I think he's in like one in every four teams.
Yeah.
It's something nasty.
Mm.
So, Roy, it's over to you. Do you have Tom Rockliffe in your team now?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Is that because you haven't updated it since
the news?
No, I've updated since the news.
Will you have Tom Rockliffe in your team come round one?
At this stage, I'd say 60% yes.
60% yes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Will you message him leading into the round one?
100% yes.
All right.
Wow. Rocky.
He won't give much away, I don't reckon.
See if you can get Rocky on here for next week. We'll have a talk.
Big season for the pair.
It's a huge season.
Mm.
And they're not going to risk him.
No.
They're not going to risk him in round one.
Why would you?
No. Well, interesting talking point, that one. The old Rock Whiz. For me, he's out. For you, Roy?
In.
Calvin?
He's out.
Yeah. Probably sensible.
Mm. Quite a few of the questions were about Rocky, so hopefully we answered that for you just then. But we'll be monitoring that over the next couple of weeks because after today, there are only two Mondays before the start of the season. Now,
Get Rocky back in.
Question here from Skippy, our mate over in Cleveland. Sorry, since the AFL record was printed, who is clearly out of the running from the Traders Week 1 squad? So that's already been updated, so you can check that out at afl.com.au/fantasy. But I'm just holding it up for the boys because I didn't really prepare this one.
That's fine.
But I'd be saying out of our back line there, Mitchell Hibbard might be minimal chance.
Yeah. Unless he turns
up. He's out at this stage.
Yeah.
And as the back line, Joel Smith as well may not be there. We might have better options there. Brayshaw?
He's out at the moment.
He didn't do enough.
In the midfield, would probably be saying Rocky for me. Mm. Roy, you'll probably hold enough sway to keep him in there.
We'll see, yeah.
Probably would be saying Harrison Wigg. Like, that's... We're a long way out for that. We thought that he might... Well, he's going to be right for round one, as we heard from Fish, but in the knee foot.
Downgrade for us.
So we're looking at that there. Nathan Freeman wouldn't be there as well. And Paul Hearn, I'm a little bit worried. He may get named this week. Mm. Hopefully he does to get a game. In the ruck, Nick Knapp, he's definitely out, isn't he? Out. You made that change, didn't you, Calvin?
That's all done and dusted, that one.
In the team. Up in the forward line, I'm thinking That's okay. Aaron Young, we didn't talk about him in that review, but Calvin, he wasn't very pretty in
that. Look, and it was a bit of a long shot, let's be honest, with old Youngie.
He's typical, looks like great upside from a mid-pricer.
Yep.
Just don't do
that's it. That's just got a trap written all over
it. And Jack Higgins' name there. We've since heard that basically it might be mid-season for him to get a gig in there. So that's where it is. But it's a good start. That's what that team was all about, to help people through.
It's a starting point.
It's a putrid team now, but at the time that was something to talk about.
Now, a bit more info now.
Interesting question here from Pete. At what point will you be trading out premium players when they are injured? So if players are missing for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, what do you think? Like, premium players. Now, we have got very trigger happy in the last couple of years because of our two trades per week.
It depends what you got there covering as well.
Yeah.
We traded some premiums. We traded Treloar when he missed 1 week or something last year.
Yep.
That was disgusting.
Yep.
We need to stop being so concerned about the green vest and think long term. Think outside this studio for once.
It's the dog that does it.
Oh, it's not just
him. It's because he only picks on us. If he has the green vest, it's all quiet. You know,
Doesn't get a mention.
But if it's one of us, he's like paints the studio green and it's just ridiculous.
All right, so we should hold them for at least 2 weeks. Yes, 3 weeks is probably... and it depends on how premium then. It can also...
If you've got a good cover, if there's someone on the bench rocking it...
And your bias thinking can come into it as well. If you're a little bit loaded for that round of buy players, that might even... Yeah, it's interesting. We'll cross the road when we get to it. Now, from David Bubb, he wants to know, who should I replace Rocky with, seeing he's not certain for round one? Well, we don't know if he's not certain. But anyway, he tweeted this out, and we actually retweeted it on at AFL Fantasy. It's had almost 400 votes there. He says, Beams, Fife or Cripps? Who would you guys be going for as a replacement?
I think he's missed Canelio out of that.
Well, no, he's asked that he might already have Canelio. So he's asking Beams, Fife or Cripps.
Okay. You got in trouble.
For me,
Do what you're told. Come on.
For me, out of those guys, it's Beams. Locked from day one for me, and he will sit there all the time.
So Beams, Fife, and
Cripps.
Beamer for chasing those 140s early.
Yep. Well, the voting at the moment, 52% for Fife, 30% for Beams, and 18% for Cripps.
Fife feels safer.
It does.
Especially, it feels a lot safer.
Mm. Well, Fife has had his injury worries, but he probably feels safer than Beams on that.
He's had a better run at it over the preseason.
Yeah.
People would be thinking.
That's a good call. Okay, can you rank these players?
Yep.
I'm going to reel them off and then we'll do a little bit of looking. Neil, Matt Crouch, Canelio, Kelly, Beams, Fife. Okay, so Neil and Matt Crouch.
Matt.
Okay. Canelio, where does he sit in that? Below both for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nipping at the heels of Neil.
Right, so Matt, Neil, Canelio. Kelly. Ahead of both, all of them?
Yes.
Yep.
So Kelly, Matt, Neil, Canelio.
Yep.
Beams.
In the middle there somewhere?
Yeah.
In the middle?
Yeah, and Fife.
In the middle.
Down.
So we're looking at Kelly and Matt right up the top.
Yep.
And you're probably thinking that, so you're saying Canelio, would Canelio be ahead of Beams?
No.
Fife?
It's
a tight one.
That is very tight.
Yeah.
It's within a point.
Okay. All right, Jesse Blair wants to know, Redden or Jager?
I'll answer that. It's a Redden all day for me.
Is it?
Yeah, all day, every day.
All right.
Oh, the undies.
Yep. I'm not trusting... I think O'Meara will need over 30 touches a game to get close to 100.
Do you know
points.
What? That you've ranted about it a lot, but that is the most common sense thing you've said about it.
Good.
Because he does take possessions to score when he did 5 years ago when he used to play.
Yeah. So for me, it's Redden, I think, he tackles. I think Redden is the better pick.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. He's gone. Now, Ben asked this question, O'Meara, Redden, and then Armo as well.
Yeah.
Armo below both of them.
Cal loves Armo.
No.
Armo before...
As captain?
No. Would you pick him before O'Meara then?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
He's, if you were to graph,
I thought you'd be all over Armo with this tank top that you're wearing in here tonight. Why have you got your arms out like this?
It's 40 degrees in here. if you were to graph his seasons over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, it's just like, just on a slide.
Yeah, okay.
That was a down noise, by the way.
That was. It was. Started in one direction. Didn't you see my finger? I would go Redden.
Yep.
The Bomb, and then Armo out of those three.
Okay, now Kingsy wants to know, it's a three rookie defence with Caulfield, Norton and Doudé a good idea?
It's risky.
But then only having one rookie up forward in Fritsch on the ground.
Do you know, I have the same.
Wow.
That is what my back line is at the moment.
Did we do that last year and it was an error?
Well, we chased mid prices back there, didn't we?
Yeah, but now the other thing was,
they were those 200-ish guys though.
Were they?
I think so.
We believe that the value was in our... We believed a couple of weeks ago that these rookie forward line guys were the answer.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're not the answer. They're not the answer that we thought they were. The answer now is starting to come with these defenders, like, who'd you say that? Norton bloke?
Yep.
Caulfield.
Caulfield. Even if Maxie's right and Murray's going to play a bit,
there could be three back there.
There should be four options.
Because if you've got five guys back there, five cheap options that you're confident they're all best 22, it's just that we chased guys that were named for the sake of getting them cheap.
Yes,
and that ruined us. The fact they were on the bench not playing.
Yes, we chased.
That's why we had no.
We chased to keep the structure we had.
Yeah, and that is not a good idea.
No, so. You might be happy with the structure you've got at the moment, but if the rookies aren't playing or they're not going to be there for the first 3 to 4 weeks, then you actually have to tweak the structure of your team, like what you've done here.
Mm.
You're heavy, we'll call it heavy, with rookies in your defence and lighter up forward.
Yeah.
Okay? You weren't like that 2 weeks ago.
Mm. No, I wasn't.
It was probably the other way around.
No. I talk tough, but I'm very reactive.
throwing in the mix there is Alex Pearce. Now, Alex Morrison asks this. Despite being a key defender, is Alex Pearce worth starting with on the field due to his job security? Now, he's under 200K.
Mm.
He's going to be playing average about 50, do you think? Is he worth starting with, though?
Well, do you know what? I can't believe this, and I'm not proud to say it, but last year, my benchmark, when I'd given up, I was telling the rookies, just get to 50.
Just get to 50,
I was getting that many 40s and 30s. Is it enough, though?
Mm.
We really need to start the season with higher expectations than 50, don't we?
We do, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
And the thing is, if it's one of those backline spots, backline hasn't got that many good options this
year. No, they don't. No, Roy.
So if you're going to be happy with a 50 from someone who's best 22, that might be your guy.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, now from Chris, which premium players do you think could take a backward step this year in their scoring? Now, he's thinking the likes of Duncan and maybe Kelly.
Interesting for him to say Kelly. I don't know why he would. Some people reckon that with Cornelio playing, that it was actually going to affect Kelly this year. I can't see that being the case.
No.
So I'm going to say no on the Kelly. Mitch Duncan, that's just a big question mark. But I'm with you, Roy. I think he can get Harlem Globetrotter time
and
when these boys are doing
realistically, look at the three of the boys. Danger's durable, but... Those other two, they're not going to play the big three together more than 10 times throughout the year. Duncan will be in the big three most weeks because one of them will be out.
I think Zorko could slide a bit this year. So he went at 114.
Oh, justify that.
I think he'll get a lot more tags this year. Remember when he used to get tagged?
Justified.
So if he gets a little bit more attention, and I reckon that the rise of the tags this year might come back in with Ben Jacobs kicking around. So,
Daniel Crisp asks this one, Cornelio versus Shiel. The price is the same. Who will average higher and play more games?
Cornelio.
I think Cornelio.
Yep.
Yep.
Easy.
Okay. In the forward line then, what about Heaney and Buddy?
Buddy was awesome.
Yeah, he was.
He just monstered dudes.
He did what he wanted, though. He had the opportunity to do what he wanted.
Yeah but if Sydney are going to be better with their midfielders actually turning up, you know, like, well, Josh Kennedy played in the first one, Parker played in the first one.
I just feel Heaney's in a better age bracket for my team.
Agree, but we disrespect Buddy every year.
Yeah.
I know. Surely he'll be managed.
He hasn't been for the last two. I know. I'm with you, Roy.
Defies all.
But I'm with you. Just for age alone, you would go Heaney.
I think so.
Tones are Adams, Zorko, Kelly, best to worst. Adams, Zorko, Kelly. Or Adams.
Interesting. I will go.
He has a little bit of extra value because he could potentially be deeper.
Kelly, Adams, Zorko.
I'm with Roy on that one, but if we were 100% confident that Adams could get that defender status, he'll be defender and 110 points better than anyone else back there.
I like Adams first regardless, and only the point of the way he plays. He's very piggish. Kelly May, I don't know. I feel safer with Adams, even though last year was the first time he played 22.
What's Adams' ownership at the moment?
Oh, it'd be pretty high.
4.4%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
so, people are keen on him. I thought they were, anyway.
No, they're not.
Okay, Jake wants to know, should he go Kelly and 170K Ford or Billings and Tim Kelly? Which combo would you prefer?
If Billings fronts up this week, he's going to come into a lot of teams.
Yeah. Sounds like he will.
Does it?
Alan Richardson said basically he was wanting to play last week, so he's...
Because if he plays this week, there's nothing wrong with him.
If he plays this week and looks like he's getting that midfield time again, Armo might bump him out, though. But if he gets that midfield time,
he's
and
a lock.
Tim Kelly as well.
Yeah.
He's locked in, isn't he?
That's a great option. Yeah.
Yep.
You have to do that, I guess.
Yep. All right. Let's have a look at a couple more questions here. Who are you looking at the moment at rocking at R2? So... Or might even be R1.
Yeah.
Because we've all got Max Gawn.
Yeah. Yep. Source for me.
Source for me. Just, you got to pay that money. You don't get fancy with it. He's playing 22.
I feel like what I've been lacking is a boring pick each year.
Yes.
And he just oozes boring, safe.
Yep.
And I think that's where my boring, safe pick will be.
Good.
Source.
Yep. All right.
Are you the same, Doc?
Yes, Source is there at the moment. Yep. But... Stephen Martin, the more and more I think about it, he could.
You know what? It's not round one, I fear.
Yeah, it's
round
a few
seven,
weeks time. Yep.
Eight, when they haven't won a game.
Be interesting to see. There's some ruck strategy is going to change a little bit, I think, over the next fortnight for a lot of people. All right, now, Jack Graham or Jager O'Meara? You're going Jager over Jack Graham, do you think?
Yep.
Just for that little bit of age profile as well.
Yeah.
Might be.
Sure.
Yeah, all right. They are our Twitter questions. You can ask, there's heaps more there. Sorry, we're just running out of time. Ask us on Twitter at AFL Fantasy is the official account, and facebook.com/AFL Fantasy Official is where you can find the Facebook page, and you'll get plenty of updates all the way through there. Nice little source of news as you trickle along on both Twitter and Facebook. But you can also catch us individually. I'm at WarnieDT.
I'm at RoyDT.
At CalvinDT.
And we'll do our best to help you out as we go through with a couple of weeks to go until the lockouts. Right, siren's gone for another episode of the official AFL Fantasy Podcast. It's not really a quick one, but we'll just read one of these ratings and reviews from iTunes for you,
good,
boys.
Good.
And this is from Sticky Dip. Thanks, you legends. Just a plain thank you for bringing the game to more people than you might have thought. I've played my first season ever last year in 2017. I'm new to the country and want to fall in love with sport that everyone loves here. I thought fantasy football will make me understand the game a lot better, and it made me watch at least two games a weekend, chasing possessions, kicks and tackles, and cursing Kurt Tippett as my second ruck. I'm a rookie, I know. Ranked under 20,000 as a first time, and all thanks to you, legends. I did not copy your team, as that is not fun. Well, you probably might have ranked a little bit higher if you did, but no. But my thinking and my team was totally influenced by your awesome podcast. Awesome work, boys, and thanks again. Follow me in 2018. I'm going for a hat, even if I have to pay Roy for the one that he's going to win this year.
Oh, what a legend.
This is definitely a female, isn't it?
Sticky Dip. Thank you very much, Sticky Dip.
Good on you.
Are a champion.
Thanks, good on you, mate.
Feel free to jump on iTunes and leave us a review. You can catch all of our podcasts on iTunes.
You can have my hat.
And on SoundCloud every single week, and you get them delivered to your podcast, to your little podcast provider or your device, whatever you've got. big thing coming later this week is our special draft podcast. So tune in for that. We'll be talking about our draft that we actually held earlier today against the other people at afl.com.au. We did pretty well in it,
I think. They're not very good at it, Warren.
Well, there was a few questionable choices that were made across the time. And we are looking forward to putting that out there so we can see how we went on that one. Thanks again for tuning in this week. We'll be back next week. There's only a couple of weeks left to go, and the good old JLT winds up this weekend for us to change our team. Heaps and heaps and heaps of times. See ya.